Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network. Founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Casper Cook, their vision was to start a radio show that helped authors reach their dreams. The World of Ink Network has a wonderful group of hosts who are also authors and dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows bringing not only entertainment but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Good afternoon from lovely Virginia. As you guys have already heard, you're on the World of Ink Network. I'm Cassandra Dane, and this is The Edge. Well, we have a little bit of a surprise today. Originally, we were supposed to have an author with Book Trope, David Paris Carter Singer, and unfortunately, he actually is in a far-off wonderful land, not realizing the time difference, so it would be very, very early in the morning for him. So we're going to bring him on another show, and I've decided to take the opportunity to have one of my favorite guests back on again. Dale Ryerson is also with Book Trope. He writes as S.E. Rise for both The Forsaken and Edge imprints. Not only that, but both he and I and he and the director for The Forsaken imprint are taking on some additional fun and exciting tasks. So we're going to let him tell you guys about it a little bit. So let's say hello to Dale. Welcome.
Well, hello, Cassandra. How are you?
I can't lie. It's gorgeous today. It's beautiful in my sunny Virginia, and it's a perfect day to be a writer.
It's pretty nice here, too. I'm sitting here at the riverside, getting ready to go do a little salmon fishing, silver salmon fishing in Anchorage, Alaska.
Awesome.
I just got off work about 8, and figured I'd go get some fish, talk on the radio a little bit. So
you're
I'm all yours.
You're always fun to have on. Whoa, now be careful when you say those things.
Oh, yes, I better be careful with that, yes.
For those of you who may have heard him on a previous show, Dale lives a fairly exciting life. He's a fireman, a bouncer, and just an all-around excellent author. First, let's start a little bit with a couple of the books that you have out. Just glow and show for me.
All right, glow and show. So my erotic thriller, Simmering, is doing pretty well on the charts right now. It's been out since May, and it's sitting in, I think it was sitting at 94 on the Amazon charts and the paid charts on the erotic thriller, so that's good. I have The Dead Cat Paradox. That's my horror thriller from the Forsaken imprint. It's doing rather well, as you can guess. I have a new one coming out. It's a novella. It's called 3 Days Without Grace. And it's my zombie Jesus book, okay? It's my zombie Jesus book. I know I just offended about the whole Christian nation who's listening right now, but I can't help it. It's my zombie Jesus book. So I'll be probably getting some hate mail or some trolls here soon, but I don't care. It's all good. It's my
Once
zombie Jesus book.
Once you get
Jesus
hate
book.
Mail, it's a good thing. You know that you've made
it. Oh, yeah. Besides, that book's a little bit different than what you would think. It's not. It's actually came out rather well. I was pretty impressed with it. I just started, as of August 1st, yesterday, we started up on the second book in my Simmering series, Sinning. And it's going through the Book Trope process and being made beautiful by my wonderful team.
Good.
I'm doing book. Yeah, I'm doing book. I mean, I am a book manager now also for Book Trope.
Mm-hmm.
And I have quite a complement of authors. I think I have six now. Six authors underneath me, and they're ranging from a middle school type book, that's JoJo Woods, to let's see, we have Laura Hidalgo. She's with Wrecked. She has a book out. I have my Beauregard Hall, he's got Snapshot, Jim Greenfield, he's got A Dark Apostle, those are Forsaken books. Dana Locacci has a dark poetry book coming out. Let's see, I might be talking with Alex Kimmel a little bit about becoming a book manager for him. That's kind of neat.
Good.
Yeah.
You're just a good guy.
We have some events. We have an event coming up in August. I know it's August now, but I think it's August 24th. It's going to be a book event. We have an author takeover. There's a lot of Forsaken authors. It's called The Season of Dying. And it's going to be about themed towards the season of rot, the season of flies, when things die during the fall. And we have droughts, and there's going to be a lot of short stories, a lot of gruesome stuff coming that way. So that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. I think you're forgetting about an anthology you're going to be in, too.
Yes, yes, I am going to. Thank you very much. We have the anthology From the Edge. It's the animal Within, correct?
The actual book is going to be called The Animal, but that led me to the e-zine that we're going to talk about it in a little bit.
Yeah, we have the e-zine. I'm also going to be in the Forsaken e-zine. It's for the Horror Hooligans e-zine. That's our main one coming out here. And my story is a little bit odd. It's called The Thumpkin Comes. And it's about, remember the song when you're a kid, Where is Thumpkin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what it's about. It's but more of a, it just goes back to a dream I had when I was a child. And the dream terrified me and it kept me around and it's still around. And in the dream, there's a xylophone and there's a giant apple and I'm in a room. And on the xylophone, there's this song is, Where is Thumpkin? Where is Duncan? Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Yeah, that's what I based my story around. That's pretty creepy, isn't it?
Well, I've read enough of your stuff to know that you have a dark side to you, Guy. I can tell you that. I like it.
And I'm a little bit of a dark, freaky kind of person. That's okay, though. Somebody has to be, you know, I'm proud of who I am.
Dale and I were talking before the show, and for our listeners, that if some of you may not know the difference in the two imprints that I mentioned. First of all, they're with the BookTrope Publishing Company, and what BookTrope has done is set up not only team efforts where you have teams of designers and editors, proofreaders, and book managers who help the marketing. They also have set up various imprints where these stories are designed to be in a very particular genre. Forsaken is one that is much more traditional horror, so to speak, not necessarily the taking it out to the, you know, extremes of horror, gruesome, or sex, that kind of thing. Edge is taking it a little bit different. Edge is literally going to the edge of stories, whether it's BDSM or sexual, based on another variety, horror and thrillers as well. So the interesting aspect, I think, and that Dale, you can agree with me on this, is that for some authors who write traditional horror, at times they want to take that to the edge so they can do a combination of working with both imprints, and we have a lot of authors that are starting to do that.
I agree that 100% on that. That edge is an awesome opportunity. You know, as horror writers, we try to take it to the edge without getting too offensive or freaking too many people out, and which is normal. I mean, which is okay. But there's always that avenue that people want to read. They want to see beyond that. They want to see some crazy, freaky, scary stuff, you know, or sexual stuff, or just, you know, where you're not afraid to use the F-bomb once in a while, or as I said, we got serial killers and we have serial killers and sex. And you know, if you want to write about a dead girl, write about a dead girl, you know, or
true.
Having sex with whatever. It's,
or
it's
zombies
those
and
stories.
Jesus. I don't know.
With zombies and Jesus, yes. Yep, those are the kind of stories, yeah.
It was interesting for me. I actually wrote a piece for Forsaken, and now I'm also doing a story with Girls Rock Horror Harder for what they call the Forsaken Hooligans. And Maddie asked me to do that. She's the imprint director for Forsaken, and I was thinking, well, it's a little hard for me to tame it down, but I actually did that piece as well as did a free read called Demon Kills with Chris Jensen, and it was interesting to do it in another, you know, really crafting the story, not putting the gore slash sexual aspects to it. So it bends your mind a little bit.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely, the Forsaken is. We have some fantastic authors there. I mean, these guys, girls, they can write some scary, entertaining stuff. I love it.
You're an excellent group.
You don't have to worry about the shock and awe. So you're not basing it on the shock and awe and gore so much. You're basing it on the suspense and the story, scary storytelling.
Fascinating me because we have various rooms for our listeners out there on Facebook as well as in a trope site that is set up specifically for the book trope authors. And we can all chat and talk and share ideas and covers, and it's fascinating being in both the Edge slash Entice room as well as the Forsaken, and just to see the glorious banter of what people are sharing, and I love seeing the way you interact with them in particular. I think you bring a true leadership role to the Forsaken genre as well.
Well, you know, I try to. I'm a pretty sociable person, and I'm quite a bit of an extrovert, I guess. Sorry, I'm smoking also. Sorry. Not everybody is an extrovert. You know, writers tend to be introverts, and I like to interact with it. I like to bring out that extrovert qualities in people. I like to get them interacting. I like us all to be talking. And, you know, and that's really what developing a brand is about, is talking to each other, getting the word out for each other, and interacting with our readers, you know, figuring out new and different ways. Because I do a lot of author takeovers. It's where you go to an event and you do a guest spot for an hour and you entertain the readers for a while. And you get them to like you so that they'll buy your book. And everything that I learn, all the things that I learn about promoting myself without actually promoting myself, I try to pass on to everybody in the Forsaken group also. And they're keying in on it. They like it.
Oh, yeah.
They like it a lot.
They do, and they gravitate toward really paying attention and listening and garnering tips. I mean, the folks in Edge do, and Edge and Entice, of course, we've combined a little bit in some of the rooms, but our authors over there do the same thing. They're just eager to learn anything they can. But it also is powerful to me as a writer and a director to garner things that I would have never thought about from folks who are even brand new to the industry.
Yeah. New ideas. I'm always thinking of new ideas. I try to learn from, I try to watch how other people are doing it. And I learn how they're doing it, and I try to, you know, enhance it or make it mine or make it better or make it or just do exactly what they're doing. Because there are a lot of good entertainers out there who are doing a very good job of branding themselves.
Absolutely.
I have to give a shout out to some of the Forsaken guys and gals. Okay.
Not a problem.
We have some new releases and some releases coming out. Dane Cobain was No Rest for the Wicked. Robert Verneda is Devil's Nightmare. J.G. Clay, Blood and Sulfur. Duncan Ralston has his Gristle of Bone. Pembroke has Life After the Undead. She also has another one coming out for The Forsaken. It's the Good Intentions part of her series. Sharon Anderson has a Curse of the 770s. Clarissa Joel has The Island. Eric Tarowski has Willing Servants. And I think Larry Wainer has Paradise Rot. Those are all the good stories hitting the market or on the market right now from The Forsaken.
That's fantastic. I mean, there's lots of activity.
Pretty huge, huh?
It really is. It's growing in leaps and bounds.
I know. I was talking with Maddie Von Stark, and we have three e-zines coming out this month. The Girls Rock Horror Harder is coming out on the 6th. That's pretty cool. I really like the first issue. Second issue is going to hit even harder, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the main horror Hooligans is coming out on the 10th. I'm gonna be in that one. My Thumpkin story is gonna be in that one. And we have the Dreadful Geographic, which is coming out on the 15th. And that's gonna be about all those scary places.
Station identification for a minute in case we have some callers that would like to call in and talk with Dale, and I hope that you will. If you would, our number is 714-242-5259. We'd love to hear from you. Tell me a little bit about the design, if you will, of the e-zines for Forsaken, because they're actually quite a bit different than what you and I are talking about with Christian for the e-zine for Edge, and we'll talk about that one a little bit later.
Well, the e-zines, this is what I know of the e-zines. I know Maddie Von Stark is in charge of the e-zines.
Right.
She's doing a fantastic job. The Girls Rock Horror Harder, that features the Forsaken authors who are women, and they're promoting women as rock stars of the horror industry, because they are. They're fantastic. These ladies can write some horror stuff, man. And, you know, mostly you find that horror is written predominantly by males. It's just what it is. And then the fact that we have a huge collection of women who write horror, they rock it. They kick ass.
By the way, I'll stop you for a second, because we actually have two callers that are calling in. So I'm going to connect them both and say hello, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. I'm going to connect actually another caller. We have two at the same time, and then I'm going to get you both to introduce yourself. Hold on a second. And we have a second caller calling in. Welcome to the show. We have a couple of callers, and Dale is on here with us. So if you will call that caller right now, introduce yourself and say hello.
Hi, my name is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Who is our other caller, just so we know, and then you guys are welcome to ask any questions that you have.
Scarlett has bombed the show. Sorry.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Glad to hear. Well, guys, I'm Dale. I'm going to open up the floor and let these lovely folks ask you some questions. So ask away.
Okay. So what are you going to ask me there, Stephanie?
Well, I know you also do a lot of production stuff.
I do.
And, yeah, with your production stuff, it goes so well with all of the writing that you do. And it amazes me.
And so what we're talking about is my S.E. Rice Films, where I do my book trope. My book trailers and my author trailers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they come
out pretty well, don't they?
They really do. When you come up with when you're writing all of those, are you also thinking about doing the trailers and your ideas of when you're coming up with those? Are you coming up with the ideas also?
Well, yeah.
Or are those
always an
afterthought?
No, when I'm doing the trailers for authors and for either an author trailer or a book trailer, I'm in contact with the author, and we do a lot of. We do a lot of talking. When I portray their book as a book trailer, I really want them to give me as much input as possible so that they can, and I want them to be very happy. So when they see their book trailer, it's basically they've made it by telling me what they want or what they want to see in it.
Uh-huh.
So I want that trailer to come out as best as possible for them. And if it's not, we'll rework and refix it. Same thing with the author trailers. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
I have a question.
What's that?
When I saw your name, yeah, it's Scarlett.
Okay, that's right. Hi, Scarlett.
What? Hi there. You're late to the party.
No, I'm sorry.
Got a I got a question. Okay, you have your SC Rise Productions, and you did a trailer for me, which I thought was beautiful. I mean, you sat there, you put it together, and we just kind of got what material we have. And I also know that Book Trope apparently works with a Hollywood production company. Do any of these people ever look at these books and find a way to say, you know what, we can make a movie out of this? If they can make a movie out of 50 Shades, they can make a movie out of my Pleasure House collection, or Stephanie's books, or Dale's books, or Cassandra's. I mean, what's the deal with that?
I can answer that probably a little better. I've actually talked to the powers that be regarding the production company, knowing from minute one that we had one attached to us. What I have learned in having some conversations is they are indeed looking for some very edgy pieces. That's really where things are heading. They are more of a horror slash edge production line. We have some folks that are making the connection so that we can try and do pitches, and that it will be the next phase will be to have a select few authors that are going to indeed pitch their books. Now, I don't know when this is going to come about. I think that they're trying to kind of narrow down some details and so that the opportunity is real as opposed to, well, it's a nice thing to do. We don't know if anything will come about with this. So my guess to you is this we'll probably hear a little bit more about this within the next couple of months.
Let me ask you this. Are they going to focus on basically more the top-selling authors? I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, we're looking at sales, we're looking at numbers. Some of us are just kind of re-releasing books that we've had out, you know, for a little bit. I mean, do you look at all opportunities to bring everybody up?
You bet. That's one of the things that I was a little bit, I don't know, concerned, but that was certainly one of my first questions, because we all have some of the books that I think we'd consider pretty hot topics for that haven't been done to death in the movie industry. That's what they're looking for. They don't care who's attached to it. They don't care what your name is. They simply care about what that storyline is in order for them to bring it to the movie house. Now, keep something in mind, though. What you think it works on paper may not at all work on in a movie production. So they have to look at all these sides of thinking, you know, there's a lot of cost involved in doing the filming and the techniques and, you know, what are they going to be able to bring to production that won't spoil the story but will enhance it. So there's a lot of considerations within it.
So they could actually, you know, a lot of times you will see a movie with the credits that says based on the novels of so-and-so.
Right.
And to me, there's a difference between really following a novel closely versus using an author's novel or collection as a storyline that it gives them fodder and they create their own.
Yep.
Because it's enough.
You
know, like some of Anne Rice's books. I mean, you know, the Queen of the Damned, that one, she just hated the way they adapted it. She said it was just a horribly done job. Interview with the Vampire, on the other hand, followed the book pretty closely. Everybody loved that movie. So I can see it work either way with any of the author's books at Book Trope.
It's kind of a fine line, and I don't know if any of you guys have ever written a screenplay, and I've only written one, and it was very short. It's extremely tough. It's a completely different animal, no pun intended, and it takes a different level of discipline. It also shows you what the black holes or the problems might be in trying to recreate exactly, in a sense, verbatim, what a story that works so well in a book, and it really won't do well bringing it in front of a film. It's amazing to me. I never would have thought it. I would have thought you could make a movie production out of anything, but it really just isn't the case.
I've actually been on a set before, and having to create from what they write is it's a different animal. Like you said, it's a different animal.
So did 50 Shades of Grey, for example, though people complain, I haven't read the novels, but people say, oh, it was horribly written, it was horribly this. She had to have had a storyline there that was workable. Beyond all the minutia, she apparently had a storyline that worked, or either she had already done so well with the books, they figure you put her name to anything, she'll cash in. Where do you draw the line with that?
I think it's a combination. I think that they, who wouldn't have wanted to try and make a movie out of that book? Because what do you think is going to happen? They're going to make bukus of dollars. And, you know, and that's exactly what's happening. Does that mean that it is a bad book made into a bad movie? Not necessarily. They take bits and pieces of it, and they can design it in a way that it is, quote, based on the concept of the storyline. I mean, think what the basic storyline is. You know, young, waif, billionaire, dark guy that, you know, has this love of, you know, BDSM, and you go from there. I mean, you could put that together with all kinds of things around it and beef up that storyline to make it a movie. And that's just my opinion, but what do you guys think?
I think, you know what? I think it was a fantastic opportunity for her. I think they made a fantastic, they did a good job of making a movie. They capitalized on something that was public interest, obviously because of her sales. And I think, you know what? They made a movie. She made a lot of money on her books. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
I've actually seen some of the interviews with her, and I think if she had to sit there and tell you how she made it big, I get a sense, I don't know that she could. She said, I just wrote these stories. I had no intention of them doing well. I didn't know how they would do. And I think the fame, she said, it has really overwhelmed her. She said, I don't really know how to handle it, really. There are rumors that she already had a fan base. I don't know how true that is.
Well, she wrote fan fiction for a long time with that, and that's how she, I think that's how she got discovered, I believe.
That's true. And it was first
and then,
published in a different format, and I think it was published out of Australia.
So there are a lot
But you know, it's one of those things, too, when you're in the process of becoming a superstar or an icon, you're in the middle of the process, and you don't really see it happening until it's already happened, and you look back and you're like, oh, wow, how did that happen? Wow, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't expect it, but here I am. I mean, that's what I imagine it would be like.
But you know,
we're
talking about the different imprints, and it looks like Edge especially, and Forsaken Hooligans, you're right, we're kind of in the middle, so if you had to draw two pie charts or circles, there's going to be that middle where they overlap. And the biggest thing I have heard about doing anthologies or, I guess as you call them, e-zines, I call them e-zines, but e-zines, however, they say the one good reason to do those is discoverability, because if you can get a group of people with some of the authors already known or may have a good fan base, it tends to pull the others toward discoverability. I think someone said Stephen King participated in a horror anthology, and my friend said, can you imagine if your name had been attached to that anthology and you had a story in it? So I see the imprints getting together and finding opportunities and ways to, you know, create ways for authors to get discovered. Let's face it, some of us have a nice fan base. Others have a growing fan base. Some of us are slower to get started with it. I know for me, with my book, I'm waiting till I get most of the novellas done before I do a big blitz and re-release everything again, so that if somebody reads a book, they can buy the others if they like. So I'm going to be slower as to where Dale appears to be rapidly building hers, and Stephanie already seems to have built hers pretty well. Any thoughts on e-zines and discoverability and kind of helping each other along?
Well, that's one of the reasons, if I can jump in, Dale, and please, I want your thoughts on this, too, because of the e-zine that we're doing, and it is going to be so much different than what Forsaken is, and I think that's going to be a powerful combination for all the imprints. But the reason I wanted to do the animal, and I, if you notice, I pulled from the Edge/Entice kind of line to the Forsaken, giving an opportunity for those folks to combine together and let's do something. And for our listeners, the animal is based on the human animal. I asked the authors to make a gruesome or horrific or terrifying story based on the monster that could dwell inside all of us, not a vampire or a werewolf or something like that. And I think that's, you know, the opportunity that I see it as in, that we're going to give a lot of very interesting creative stories. We're trying to do it right at Halloween time, obviously capturing on the, you know, dark gore of that concept. And then it allows people a taste for a limited dollar budget. Then when we pull some stories into the e-zines, again, you can write a shorter story. You can have a bigger name with a smaller name. And I really think it's a powerful tool.
I think so, too. I think they're fantastic. It's the way I kind of see it, it's like going to like a nice smorgasbord or buffet, and all there's food on there that you want to try out. Mm-hmm. It all looks great, and then you get a choice. You can try this or try that, and some of it's going to be great, and some of it's not. I mean, you're like, oh, that's all right, you know. But some of it you're going to want to go back for. You're going to want to try it again and again. And this is just a way for readers to taste, get a taste of what these authors are, what the e-zines have to offer, what these imprints have to offer. And they're all great stories.
Right.
You know, well, and I will say that's what I see with a lot of Dale's books, because I have read most of Dale's books. There is that variety, you know, the horror, the romance, that, you know, all there is a lot of that. And I will say that I do enjoy that with Dale's books. So
well, yeah, I try to mix it up, you know, I try to make it real and stuff. And
you do, yeah, you do a good job.
They are real too. Yeah.
I think also that it can offer an opportunity for an author that may be, in a sense, pigeonholed into writing in a particular genre, and they really love writing in something else entirely. A lot of times their readers aren't necessarily thrilled if they make that move, but if they do it in something like an anthology or a collection or an e-zine, then it's not necessarily that feeling of betrayal. They'll try that horror piece from a romance author, and they might find that they really enjoy it.
That's kind of where I fall into place, too, as I write erotica and I write horror, you know. And I kind of came to the table with, I was self-published for a long time, so I didn't know about promoting, all that kind of good stuff. And when I came to the table, I had a little bit of everything to offer. And it, not that it limited my brand, it more than anything, it expanded my brand as S.E. Rise, where I'm not just a horror writer or a erotica writer or a romance writer, I can write. You know, I write books that have different themes to them. And it does kind of go against the branding a little bit, but I'm doing the best of what I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's actually going pretty well for me. And I got a lot more readers, I know that. So that's good.
And I think when you mix kind of horror with aspects of whether you call it sensuality or sexuality, there is a natural draw for readers a little bit to that from the old-timey vampires that used to be terrifying, and now they're, you know, sensual creatures of the night. You know, it's just interesting how things have changed and morphed.
That's true. That
well,
is true.
I know that there's somebody else that wants to talk to Dale, so I'll go so that they can get in. So
okay.
Thanks.
Nice talking to you.
For being here.
Nice talking to you. Thanks. Bye.
Well, so I think this is the first time we've had callers before for me. This is kind of cool.
Well, I think that the e-zines, again, and one of the things that Dale is helping me do, and I'm pulling Christian into it as well, is we're doing kind of a more traditional, I don't know if you want to call it magazine-based type e-zine that will have some stories in them, some, you know, original stories from various authors. But we're going to try to do things like pull in folks that do articles, whether it's about BDSM or killers, serial killers, or even a horror director or screenplay writer, cover designers, that kind of thing, to give a real magazine feel to the concept of the industry.
I think that's actually going to be a fantastic idea, because that gives a quite a big picture of what what we have in the works, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not just about telling stories. It's about the entire package of entertaining our readers and giving them, bringing them the best that we can bring them, you know? I think it's a good idea.
I think it's kind of an interesting, it'll be different enough from Forsaken that we're not cross branding in a, or maybe that's the way to put it. We are cross branding because it allows the feel of, well, Forsaken's going to do a little bit more of this style, and I'm excited to be a part of that. Then Edge is going to take it in a slightly different fashion, albeit there will be, again, some original stories on both ends. But I really think that will help us together brand and move forward and share from each other.
I think so too, because we're going to have feature authors from both sides of it, and basically that cross promotes each other. You know, I mean, you get some. I know my Forsaken boys, girls, they're my hooligans. They are some scary, creepy people, and I love it. It's fantastic. They are wordsmiths. They can write some good stuff. And I know that I'm not necessarily a traditional horror kind of writer, and I know that I've learned a lot from reading some of their stuff, and they're great.
I think, too, it's going to give us a little bit of notoriety in a sense as we are looking. I mean, there are a lot of authors, of course, their dream is to have it made into a movie, and it certainly we're hoping to draw some attention to that as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're talking about branding and everything. I think when I picked my pen name, to where I tried to picture it on different types of covers, and Scarlet Darkwood, it just seems in my mind, and I think most people agree too, that it can fit erotica, it can fit horror, it can fit gothic, it can fit romance, because creating a ton of different pen names and trying to keep up with all the sites and all the stuff, I thought, I can't do that. You know, I need to be the author where, okay, she's known for writing these types of things. And I think, you know, that's when we're talking about branding and cross-promoting. I think once readers get used to that, I don't know that they're going to quite be purists anymore. I don't know that there's a lot of purists anymore. People seem to like, as Dale said, that smorgasbord. And I don't know if I see the older writers doing it as much as I see the younger authors or the newer authors all really jumping on this anthology collection type thing.
I think it's a fun. Now, the other aspect that I've seen it work before, and it's certainly something that you can well imagine I'd like to try to push for the Animal or anything else that we do, is they've banded together groups of authors specifically targeting the 99-cent market, and their single goal is to try to get on the New York Times bestseller list. And once that's happened, everything from you can brand yourself as a New York Times bestselling author to it really does all of a sudden open up some other doors. People start looking for something else that you've written.
Well, I know I can't wait to have Scarlet Darkwood in our e-zine, I can tell you that, because Scarlet writes some great. I am telling you, Scarlet writes some great stuff. And
I'm happy with my one that's going in the Animal. I have to admit, that one was pretty damn good.
I've read some stuff from Scarlet, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Scarlet, this is good stuff.
She does, and what I love about Scarlet's work is that it's very avant-garde. It takes that imagination and that, forgive the pun, but it's true, that edge out there quite a bit.
Yeah, and that's the good stuff of it, too. It's like, oh my, I haven't thought about this kind of writing a story like this. This is pretty incredible. I like it.
You know, somebody else who is really good is Jonah Bergen. I was impressed. I mean, he kindly, like Dale did, kind of reviewed Castus Vindicta, the one that's going in the Animal. And I read some of his works, and he really has some great wordsmithing, too. And some of his things, if you look at his humor side, he's so funny. But he also focuses on male submissive And that's kind of a different thing, because we read about female submissives all the time, but we never take it to the edge with males so much. And sometimes I wonder, and Cassandra, maybe you can answer this, do people like reading about dominant women?
They do. I mean, there's a whole group of folks that actually want to read that, and it's funny, some of the ones where I've done the dominant, traditionally it's been more of a female-female piece, that's really kind of widely received, and I've gotten more notoriety for the two or three of those that I've written than probably any of the other male traditional dom roles. And I have a couple that are the male-to-male as well, and people like those. They want that kind of thing. So I do think you're going to see more of the female dom, male submissive type of books.
Dale, coming from a man's point of view, I mean, what are your thoughts on a man being submissive? I mean, what would that mean to someone like you?
Well, truthfully,
Sure,
truthfully. I'm trying to get a good answer here. Truthfully, I don't have a submissive bone in my body. I don't. I'm not a submissive person. I can't pretend to be submissive, and I can't try to be submissive. It's just not in my nature, which... there's nothing I can do about it. It's just who I am.
Right.
But that is a whole huge area that needs to be, that can be discovered, and there are people who are interested in it. Mm-hmm. I know there are, let me like this. I know there are people who like that, and I know there are people who write that. They write the stuff great, and those are resources. Those are great authors that you can draw upon, feed to your readers, and provide that to your readers. I won't be the person who pretends to try to write something like that, because I couldn't. I could never write something like that. This is just not who I am. But there are people who can, and they're fantastic at it.
Well, never say never. You might be surprised, because you grow.
Well, you know, you never know, right?
You never know.
He'll be gagged and tied up with a ball in his mouth and getting whipped, next thing you know, in a story, of course.
Well,
there you go.
There you go. Love it. See? I told you. And keep something in mind. I think what we're seeing in Scarlett's concept or comment about the newer authors, I think we are all trying to, A, see which niche might be the next great hot one, whether it's cowboys or S&M or, you know, slasher horror books or whatever it is. That's part of it. And then there's so much talent that they use their imagination for whatever genre, whatever mood they're in to write that book. Good writing is good writing. It doesn't matter what you're writing about.
Exactly. I totally agree with that.
I think some people don't understand that as authors, we're allowed to use our imagination. So it's kind of interesting when you get those questions of, do you do that? No.
I think I told you that too. I'm like, yeah, because I write about a lot of this stuff, and you know, I don't actually do a lot of it, right? You're like, you're fine, Dale. You're fine. Yeah.
But that's also, I think, with the e-zines, one of the things that I hope to bring out as well is readers want to know about the authors. They really do want to know about the reality of their lives. Now, granted, they prefer a little bit of the interesting portions, you know, but
yeah,
they want to know. And so giving them that insight.
That's true. That's true. You know, and you guys know that I do a lot of these author takeovers, mm-hmm, interacting with the readers and stuff, and I belong to a lot of groups. And I try to interact with the groups as much as possible, because that's where your readers are, and that's where they get a chance to, you know, see who you are also. I know we do a little fan fiction on some of the groups I belong to, and that's pretty neat. You know, a lot of people like to read that, mm-hmm, and I think they're going to love the fact that these e-zines are coming out. You know, because they're like, hey, I know that guy. I talked to that guy, and he writes pretty good stuff in those groups. I'm going to check out his stuff, or I'm going to check out her stuff. You know, and a lot of authors get a little discouraged because, not being able to pick up readerships and stuff. But the whole equation of getting to know your readers and interacting with them is very important. You know, I mean, your book's not going to be discovered just by sitting there.
No.
You got to get out there and talk to people, and you got to get out there and show people that, hey, you know what? I can write good stuff. I can write stuff just about anything.
True.
You know, and I think that helps too.
It does, and you're also with things like the e-zines, if you are bringing in different, whether it's a movie producers or tattoo artists, whatever you're going to have featured in the magazine, you're also potentially bringing in a completely different market that may never look at your book, but because it's in this magazine, they're going to go, well, that sounds interesting. Let me try them.
I have friends who are, you ever seen where they do the skin hanging thing where they put the hooks into your skin?
Oh, yeah.
And yet spend you?
Yeah.
I have friends who do that. And I'm going to try to do an interview with them too.
Good.
I'm going to try to get stuff like that in there, you know?
Yeah.
That darker side of the head.
Considered a rite of passage, I think, like Native American Indian cultures.
Well, I've seen them do it at the bar where I work. They put on a show.
Oh,
they,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's blood everywhere, and there's hooks in them, and they're hanging from the skin. And I mean, it's a little freaky to watch, but it's cool. You know, and they get a high euphoric feeling from it. And I think that's interesting as hell. I know there's people who just read it just for the freakiness of it. It's awesome.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's also bringing a reality to it. You know, it's not the sensationalism necessarily. It's showing and offering an avenue for the folks that do this to really speak about it instead of the stuff being made up about it around them.
Right. I mean, you hear all these stuff, but there are people who actually do this stuff, and there are people who are interested in it. So I hope hopefully we can bring some of that stuff to the e-zine as well.
Okay.
You know, I think that'll be really neat.
Well, definitely. I'm gonna cut out. I wanted to say thanks and say hello, and I'm gonna go ahead and leave.
Well, we're so happy you were here.
Oh well, listen, it was fun, and Dale, congrats on everything you've done. I think you're doing a fantastic job, and your writing is fun. You're doing
all
a great
right.
job.
All
thank right,
thank you, Scarlett.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Scarlett. Bye.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing in what we're doing, and for our listeners, we're just in the early stages of what we are calling our e-zine on the edge side called The Animal Within, and we're just kind of putting together some ideas and trying to set this forth, so we'll bring a lot more out, I think, in the next few weeks so that we can have a pretty high-quality production, which is really a goal that I have for us doing this.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think, too, that will bring some draw in from, so many different avenues. It'll just be interesting to see how it takes off and what folks say about it, what they want to see, because that's going to be important, I think, to us as well, is just trying to see what people really want to see in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's there. You know, it's in the shadows, it's in the dark, and we're going to bring a little light to it.
Absolutely, in various ways.
And I think they're going to like that.
I know it. And that's, that's one of the reasons that I ask you to give some thought to it about content and about the style and all of that, same as I have with Christian, because, quite frankly, you were two very interestingly warped minds. I think
yes,
that's actually going to bring a lot of verve to it. You know, it's not going to be stale. It's not going to be the same thing because your imaginations work over time, just like mine does, and collectively, I think that we can really create something powerful.
I think so too. And there's a lot of things out there that happen to people. Remember, I was going to tell you about my pig man story.
Oh yes, please do. This
you want to hear my pig man story,
guys? Yep.
Okay, this is my pig man story. Okay. So I'm at the Walmart, and I'm a normal human being, so I have to go to the bathroom sometimes, So I go into the Walmart bathroom, sit down in the stalls, and I'm getting ready to do my thing. And, you know, it's always kind of awkward being in the Walmart bathroom anyway. And I got my phone in my hand, of course. And all of a sudden, you know, you're always hypersensitive to when somebody comes into the bathroom anyway, one of those big bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sitting there, you know, got my phone, and I hear this noise, this, like a dragging noise. I'm like, okay, what the hell is this? And then I hear this snorfling, snuffling, sniffling pig noise. Like that, right? I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Now, I've been a boss for a long time, and I'll tell you, I'll kick somebody's ass, you know, whatever I have to do. Firefighter, I'm a brave guy. Oh, yeah, tough guy. Written books about zombies and contingencies and what you're going to do in certain situations. Well, I will tell you, when you're sitting on the pot, got your phone in your hand, and there's something dragging across the bathroom floor, making a snorkeling, sniffling pigman noise, you kind of forget what the hell you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like this. Okay, I'm like, what the? I'm almost stunned. And the snorkeling, snuffling pigman slides, comes dragging himself across the floor in the front of my stall.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I got my pants down. How am I going to fight with my pants down? Holy shit, what am I going to do here? And he stops at my door, snuffling the floor, and then he starts snuffling and snorkeling the door and follows the crack up, and he starts looking at me through the little crack in the door. He starts looking at me, and he's got one eyeball on me, and he's like, and I'm like, you know, I wish I could tell you that I was a brave. Oh, yes, I was brave, and I was, I jumped up, and I kind of screamed like a little girl a little bit, and I almost threw my phone at him. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, my God, what are you doing? Ah! He's like, and he starts just there and looks at me for a second, and I'm like, get out of here. And he's like, and he drags himself away from my door into the big stall, dragging himself into the big stall, and goes over to the toilet paper dispenser and it starts pulling all the toilet paper out, all of it, out on the floor. And it's just pouring out. I'm like, you know what? Forget this, man. I'm getting the hell out of here. I packed up my stuff and got the hell out of here. I did. I left. That's my pig man story.
I love it. I think it's a great story.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, but I actually, you know what? Just in case you thought maybe he was like something wrong with him or he's handicapped or mental or whatever. Well, I waited out there by the register and I waited for him. I wanted to see what he looked like. He come walking out like a normal person. That ain't right. Pin himself against the wall. That ain't right. You don't do that. Yeah, what a weirdo, huh?
Well, here's what I think. I think you need to write a story about this. And take it to your extreme fashion, now, don't you?
That's pretty crazy stuff, huh?
I love it. I think it's great. But if you don't write a story about it, I may steal it from you, so you have to.
Okay, I'll have to write a story about it then, okay. I can do that.
Hey, Dale, I think we might have another caller on here, and we've only got a few minutes left, but I wanted to make sure
okay.
I give them an opportunity to say howdy, so hold on.
All righty.
Do we have another caller with a question for Dale?
Hello?
Hello, are
you there?
Well, I can hear noise, but I will leave them on the line, but I'll put them on mute since I can hear the noise in the background. Oh, they dropped off. That was interesting. Maybe that was Pigman.
The Pigman. Freaked her out. Freaked them out for the Pigman. Sorry about that.
I love the story. It's great. Well, tell me about, you kind of mentioned a little bit before about some things that you're working on now. What do you see coming up in the future? And then let's make sure and tell folks where we can find you and all of that great stuff.
Well, let's see. I mentioned the second book in the Sitting series coming out. Talked about that. I'm working with The Forsaken and trying to get my stories into the e-zines. pushing those. I have an event, that Season of Dying event coming up on August 24th. That's going to be fun because we did an event like that for a 666 Horror Hooligans event. Awesome. And it was a success. It's going to be kind of like that again. We're going to have a lot of guest authors where readers can go on to the event and talk to the actual authors and interact with them. So that's kind of neat. Got my 3 Days Without Grace, my Zombie Jesus book. It's coming out. I am a book manager now, so I'm pushing a lot of books that way. And going to hopefully help other authors to become rich and famous, you know, get their books made in the best ability we can and get them through the book club team process. So that'll be neat. You can always find me at sriseauthor.com. And just so you know, I'm actually walking around a little bit while I'm talking. That's why I'm breathing heavy. So just to clarify that.
It's not Pigman chasing you.
No. And then, so we have sriseauthor.com. That's my blog. It's my website. You can find me at sriseauthor on Facebook. And I'm on Twitter also as well. It's S_E_rise13. Find me there. And I like to post a lot of things and put out a lot of freebies for people. Oh, I do have a freebie out there for everybody to read. I'll post on my Facebook page. It's part of a cereal that I'm trying to start up. It's This Little Demon cereal. And the cereal being it comes out like every week or every 2 weeks. And it continues the story and to make a big story in the process. And that's called This Little Demon by S.C. Rise. Forgot to mention that earlier, sorry.
Awesome.
And I'm a busy person.
Yeah.
Busy guy.
I like
but
that.
But I'm not too busy that I can't talk to people or interact because I like doing that.
Yes, you do. That I can tell. And I have one more crazy question for you. If you could write about the craziest, wackiest, edgiest, most horrific thing and put it into a book, what do you think it'd be?
Man, I don't know. When I do my books, I feel like those are the weirdest, craziest, most outlandish stuff that I could ever write about, and then I write another book, and it's the same way. So, we both know I write about killing and monsters and sex, lots more sex and lots of oral sex. That's always in there too, for some reason. I think I'm orally fixated. For some reason. I wrote that one witchy story for you where she died because she was fellatio on a guy and he brought her back to life. That was kind of weird. I could tell you, I whatever I write next is going to be the most outlandish, craziest, over-the-top stuff that I can come up with. That's what I can tell you.
I think that this is probably going to give you some thoughts about, what would that be?
I know it is now.
Yep,
now it is.
I have to leave you with something.
Yes, you do. It's a whole herd of pigmen.
Exactly.
And they're hunting down, and they're fighting pig women. Ah!
Yep. Yeah, I better see that story. That's all I'm telling you.
All right, I'll come out with it then. Okay. I can do that.
Well, I so appreciate you being here. I'm so thankful that you jumped in and helped out, and we'll have David on another time, absolutely. But it's been great. I love talking with you.
I like talking with you, too. I like coming on your show. It's great.
Well, for our listeners out there, I want to say thank you so much. And, of course, you can always download this if you want to catch it again and share it around. I'm sure Dale will love that. And don't forget, if you have any questions for Dale, you know that you can contact him anytime, right?
Yep, anytime. And if you want to find my books, S.E. Rise. That's what I write under, S.E. Rise.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you guys again for listening. Thanks, Dale, for being here, and have a great afternoon doing some salmon fishing.
I'm going to. Thank you. I'll post some pictures of them, too. Hope.
That's great. You better.
I will. All right, I'll talk to you later, Cassandra. Thank you.
Thanks, Dale. And for all our listeners out there, we are going to have several exciting guests coming up. Actually, you heard from Scarlett today a little bit as another guest calling in for Dale, but she's going to be on my show next week. Brenda Gonet writing as Adriana James. She's actually a cover artist as well as an author, will be on. And then we're going to have Dale back on in a few weeks as well, just to talk about some of the production that he's doing with some folks that he's actually working with from Entice and Edge. So thank you once again. You've been on the World of Ink Network. This is The Edge with Cassandra Dane. Thanks so much, everyone, and I hope you have a fantastic afternoon.